Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast.
Paranormal.
Oh, yeah.
Paranormal.
Joe and I are in the weirdest moods. Welcome to the show,
Goof
everybody.
City. Unfortunately, for the story that you have, I cannot play any of the songs that I found.
Oh, come on. I have to give everybody an update from last week's show.
Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have an update. The Toledo Twerker is back on the scene.
Here, I'll just narrate twerk the booty, twerk the booty, twerk, yeah. twerk the booty.
Joe has some great twerking songs, but yeah, they're so graphic, he couldn't even play them.
The one was this little guy. When I say little, I'm talking like he's like three inches tall, and he's dancing on the twerking buttocks.
Whoa, Joe will be watching twerk videos for like 7 hours straight.
But so you saw her?
Yes, this morning at 7 o'clock. Actually, it was like between 6:30 and 7 o'clock. The Toledo Twerker was back on the scene in my neighborhood, giving her booty pop, booty pop.
Shake the booty.
Booty
shake,
pop.
Shake booty.
Booty pop. And then, and then my sister gets off work because she takes kind of the same route.
Yeah.
She goes by my house. And she was out there at like 3:30, still booty pop.
Oh,
twerk, twerk.
Yeah, twerking
twerk
in the sun.
It, twerk it, work it. Ow!
As the sun glistens off her
twerking,
what do you call ample buttocks?
Her baby got back.
I have not seen her.
I did
yet.
Not know. I do not know if she got arrested today or not.
Who knows?
But
who knows?
Only in my hood.
Yeah,
the mean streets of West Toledo. Yo. West Side.
Hey, they said 5 points is coming alive, so.
Well, it's coming alive. Twerk it, work it. Twerk it. I don't know why I keep saying twerk, 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 twerk. And that's our show for today. No, I'm kidding.
You know, during Christmas time, Toledo was known because of a weed that was turned into a worldwide phenomenon.
Phenomena.
Phenomena. I didn't have it right either.
Fraggle Rock.
But anyhow, it was called the Christmas weed, and it was on the news all over the world. My friend in Russia saw it, and she texted me. So now we have the summertime, and we have the twerker.
Hashtag Toledo Twerker. I started that hashtag, everybody.
Oh, you did?
I did. Nobody else did it. I did it. So anyways, if I have any videos or if I happen to see her, I will definitely update you. And you know our friend Shelly, who listens to the show. She's from Toledo, and she's in the paranormal. That lady, that girl, I'll call her a girl. I don't know how old she is, but I think she's in her 20s. Was in front of her apartment the other day, so she must live by me.
Oh.
Poor thing.
She's a professional. She's a twerkologist.
That's it, Joe. That's Joe's new rap name, the twerkologist, MC twerkologist. Because Joe's a rap star.
Oh, we are such dorks.
Yeah. Oh, want to give a shout out.
Yeah.
My buddy JFJ Joe, he likes to listen to our show. My home slice, Joe Jr. I hear you, brother.
Joe Jr. twerking.
He's
twerking
Joe. At work, twerking, working. But anyways,
I went to the eye doctors, and
yeah?
They were.
Were you twerking on the way?
Yes, I got up on the counter and I twerked in front of the whole. And they were all laughing and throwing dollars at me.
Wait a minute. Wait. Joe don't get no dollars. He gets $100.
Hunnas.
He gets Benjamins, not George's.
But after my exam, I tried on my new contacts.
Y'all, can you
and
see
And they
now?
Wanted to, they took me in the back room to see if they fit right. And they sat me down in the chair and the doctor come in and instead of looking at my eyes, she was like, okay, tell me about the ghosts.
Joe is infamous. Everywhere you go, Joe.
I must
twerkologist.
Be. I'm a twerkologist.
He's a parapsychologist twerkologist. That's your new title. I'm going to put that on his business cards.
But I'm going to get a t-shirt so I can wear it to the shows.
Yes, parapsychologist.
Parapsychologist.
Oh my gosh. I think the caffeine is kicking in because I was so tired before I got to the studio. And I had one of those V8 energy drinks.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm like, bing!
Hi, they don't have that effect on me.
Great, now I won't sleep tonight.
Yeah, what's normal?
Course, yeah, when do I ever get sleep? Like, you know, whatever.
So do we have a topic for
today? We actually have this really, really awesome topic this week, and it's so interesting. And Joe, I got this idea from my friend Nadine. Hey, girl.
Nadine.
From Black Swamp Paranormal. She was telling me the story that she was researching this topic, and I was like, oh my God, I have to do this topic. So shout out to my home slice.
Nadine.
That's my girl.
Black Swamp
Paranormal. I'm going to be her maid of honor. And you're the best man.
Am I?
Yep. And they're renewing their vows. I hope I can say that online, but whatever. Yes.
Are they going to be doing it?
A maid of honor.
I'm not
going
to say where, but I think it's in the Kawadin Casino. And there's going to be a lot of celebrities there.
It's somewhere. It's in July.
Oh, it's not? I thought it was.
It's in July.
Oh,
no,
I'm sorry.
That's Michelle and what's his name?
Don't know.
Shoot, they're getting married. I think Chip Coffey's officiating.
Oh, I thought.
They got engaged last year at Michigan Fairground. How romantic. I love it. I hope she had a coffin-shaped diamond. Have you ever seen those coffin-shaped diamonds?
No, I haven't.
I got to have one. Okay, if there's any rich single listeners out there, you know, mama wants a coffin. And it doesn't have to be a ring, an engagement ring. It could just be one.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Like a cocktail ring. Okay, anyways.
So let's talk about black dogs, also known as hellhounds.
Bum, bum.
Ooh, which I was in hell last weekend.
Yeah, you were hell, Michigan. Did you see that they are the there? It's for sale.
Yeah, the bar.
Saloon? Yeah.
Yeah.
The if Hell anybody Creek has saloon, $600,000.
That's cheap. It comes with a liquor license and everything.
Well, anyways.
If they're selling it that cheap, they're not making any money there.
Well, you never know. Some people like to, you know, maybe they, whatever. Okay, rabbit holes.
So, anyways, black dogs, also known as hellhounds, are mostly in the British Isles, like Scotland, Wales, and France, and Denmark.
Okay.
If you go there, you'll find that, I'd say, what, about 80% of the bars have something to do with black dogs.
Yeah, that's cool. So, this is a long history, a long legend, tradition of these black dogs that they've been seeing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a little scary to think about it, like some of the stories that we've heard and that we've in our research of these crazy things. Do you want me to tell you a little bit about one?
Sure.
Okay. Here we go, kids. So, primarily associated with British legends, stories about black dogs or ghost dogs or hellhounds are present in almost every region of the world, like you mentioned some of the countries. When you think of like eerie ghost dogs, you think of evil images or death omens or even that two-headed dog from Greek mythology, you know, that one's like a bargain. But a lot of them are more protectors of like the spirits or the underworld. And it's a really interesting tradition of where this came from and how this came to be. You know, like back in early centuries, we're talking like, you know, the 5th century through the 1000th, you know, what do you call it? Like
I don't know.
First century. I don't know. Like from like.
Well, it'd be the first century.
500
the century
AD to like, you know, maybe 1100 AD. There was so much unknown, right? So people had to reason and justify things. Because they just didn't know. They didn't have the knowledge or the science. And it was a lot of myths, legends that come out of this. So the popularity of the dog legends isn't a surprise. So since man first domesticated dogs, the man and dog partnership has been traced back to the Paleolithic era. Mm-hmm. So we're talking like caveman days,
it was,
right?
Yeah.
And it lasted for thousands of years. Now to narrow it down to the black dog legends, there's a couple like British versions that I want to focus on.
All right.
Okay. So no other place in the world holds more legends sightings of black dogs other than the UK.
Yeah.
United Kingdom. So each region might have its own version of the tale with different names given to different dogs. They call it the Black Shook, the Girt Dog, Padfoot, Barguest, Hairy Hound, Yeth Hound, and the Grim, which I'll get into that Grim later.
Okay.
But a lot of the legends, one of the origin, it's kind of hard to pinpoint where exactly it started, but there's a researcher named Mark Norman who has been researching legends of black dogs in England for many, many, many years. He's traced the earliest account in English literature back to 1127, which is kind of surprising. Like, okay, so they were writing stuff down in 1127, right? Like,
well, yeah.
What, like with a quill or something?
Yeah.
Or were they carving it in stone?
Had quills and stuff. And, I mean, you think about the...
when did writing, like on paper, start?
Well, in Egypt... Yeah, they use the parchments and stuff, or papaya is it, or I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Papaya. I think that's fruit. Papyrus.
Papyrus. Okay.
Papyra.
Pirates.
Okay.
Yeah, like Jonathan Weiss.
Hey, Jonathan, I know you're listening. Donala.
He should be.
Better be. So he did research. According to his studies, the black dogs can take it different forms, but a few common traits are present. They're always large creatures. They have shaggy coats, glowing eyes, usually red in color, sometimes yellow. I haven't heard any like blue or green, but I think blue would be cool. Different details about the dogs make them unique. Some have chains around their neck. Some are headless. Some have human faces. And the legends describe ghost dogs as huge, even as big as a house. And then they say that they walk on their hind legs, which just kind of gives myth to the dogman legend, right?
Yeah.
So the dark beasts, they're notorious for disappearing into the mist and leaving no trace of their eerie visits. Bah, bah, bah. Also, kind of in China, they had this legend as well.
Oh.
So there's an account or a book that talked about it. It's called The Discovery of London Monster Called the Black Dog of Newgate. It was published in 1638.
Wouldn't it be neat to read something that old?
I can't imagine like trying to like maybe finding something mm-hmm. like that, right?
There's
like,
gotta be copies of it online.
Can you imagine? Like it would be hundreds of dollars, I bet.
Yeah. One thing before we go for any mm-hmm. further, let's talk about the red eyes. We hear that a lot. Whether it's Mothman, mm-hmm. Some Bigfoot accounts, Dogman accounts, they always talk about the red glowing eyes that they actually emit light instead of absorbing it. Like, so, I mean, you look at pictures of dogs or people even, you know, when you see the eyes, they're always red. But that is a reflective. It's not where they actually emit light. A lot of these tales always talk about the animals' mm-hmm. eyes emitting or transmitting the light.
Which is weird because mm-hmm. you would think it'd be the opposite. Plus, they didn't have like camera lenses back then. So like it wasn't wasn't a reflection.
No,
right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, these people are seeing these animals or beasts, whatever you want to call them, and it's actually light is coming out of their eyes.
I've dated a few beasts. We won't go into that. All right. So one of the most popular British ghost dog legends is said to take in place in Suffolk. Suffolk?
Suffolk.
Suffolk. Suffolk. Okay. I'm really bad with these names. As you guys know, after 150-something episodes. Okay, so it began with a violent storm that happened. It broke out in the morning of 1577. Parishioners of a church were commemorating a Sunday service. Lit by flashes of fire, a black dog appeared in the church. He was running around, panicking the people, you know, snapping and barking. The ghost dog said to have killed two men in the mm-hmm. church who were kneeling in prayer and caused severe burns on another man. This is what was in this book.
Yeah.
So according to the account, the appearance of the ghostly black dog, they called the Black Shook, at the church of Bungay, Suffolk.
Yeah, I looked it up. That's in UK. I was like, I cannot Suffolk. Type this down without knowing how to actually spell it. So I looked it up.
Suffolk. In 1577, this is the account. A strange and terrible wonder wrought very late in a parish church of Bungay. a town of no great distance from the new city, Norwich. The 4th of August, this is in the old English style, so I'm like trying not to sound like, in ye your here, year of the Lord, that's how it goes. So he basically said that the dog, you know, is like a sign of like death and destruction, and there's a few benevolent legends involving black dogs from a place called Swancliff. Mm-hmm. So the man described the black dog following him in the woods while he was walking at night, and the creature remained at his side until he emerged from the trees. Years later, two prisoners confessed that they were going to rob and murder him that night, but they decided otherwise in noticing the presence of the big black dog accompanying him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a protector as well mm-hmm. as, you know, a menace.
It's known to protect people and children that mm-hmm. are walking in the woods or that are lost.
Yeah.
It'll show them the way to safety.
So interesting. There was another story in Dartmoor, a notorious squire. Oh, it wasn't Billy Squire, it was a squire, who said to have been a huntsman who sold his soul to the devil. When he died in 1677, black hounds were said to have appeared around his burial chamber. The ghostly huntsman was said to ride with the black dogs, and that's what inspired the tale of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's The Hounds of Baskerville. What do you do when this dog appears? Okay. So, a couple of things. They say that, one, it's best just not to encounter one, but what do you do? I mean, if you're in the woods or something and it shows up, I don't know, just whistle for it or anything, right?
Here, boy.
So,
want a piece of cheese?
Simply wearing a cross or having a picture of a saint would be enough to keep the black dog away. Other superstitions say carrying a coffin nail, sprinkling fresh water on the ground behind you as you walk, or keeping a pair of iron scissors with you. In addition, it said you should also avoid crossroads, moving bodies of water such as rivers, streams, woods, long stretches of fields. Those restrictions would made travel near impossible back in those days because that's all there was, right? Rivers, streams, mm-hmm. woods, fields.
Well, you know, it's known that the black dogs are often seen on empty roads, bridges, the entrances to graveyards, because those are the places that are the transition of life.
Mm, yeah.
Now, another one is the Newgate Prison of London. It's said to be haunted by a black dog that appears just before executions. Mm. In 1596, a scholar accused of being a witch was sent to the prison. When he arrived, he was killed and eaten by the prisoners.
Ew, gross. Okay.
Afterwards, a black dog appeared, killing all the prisoners, no matter how far they fled.
Wow. That's
so was
interesting.
That the spirit of the guy that came back?
Could have been. Yeah, I mean.
Now, one thing I want to talk about, do you remember in Erie, Pennsylvania, at the Vampire Crypt, mm-hmm. there was a story that that lady told us and was also told to us by Reverend Swoop.
Mm-hmm.
Back in episode 44 of our show.
Oh my gosh, that's going way back. That's a great episode, though.
But you remember he talked about there was a lady that was walking in the cemetery and she walked by the vampire crypt where four black dogs
mm-hmm.
started following her.
Yeah.
When she got to the edge, when the dogs got to the edge of the crypt, do you remember they stopped and she turned around and they were gone?
Yeah, that's crazy because so much activity around that particular crypt.
Mm-hmm. There's also a story of a milkman that often cut through a gap in his hedge. Now, when they say milkman, they mean a person that owns cows back then. They called a milkman. Gotcha. To the field where his cows graze. But one day he found that the hedge was blocked by a huge black dog. For several days, he took the long way around to avoid the dog, which was always there. So what he did was he ended up getting a friend of his. They went and his friend tried to kill the dog. It lashed out at the dog. He fell to the ground and ended up being speechless and paralyzed for the rest of his life.
Oh my goodness.
Just by encountering the dog. Because it said that even if you see them, you'll die within a year.
That's a menacing omen. I don't mm-hmm. want to see one. There's an interesting thing I was reading too about this company called Dig Ventures, and they dig in England like a crowdfunded archaeology excavation project. And they unearthed what they think was the skeleton of a legendary devil dog, the Black Shuk, who they say terrorized the 16th century. They said it was a 7-foot hellhound with flaming eyes. And when they unearthed the skeleton at this dig, it was in the ruins of an abbey dating back to the 1100s. So they said there was no way that even a dog alive besides a dire wolf matched the size of this dog, that skeleton they dug out. I said it was about the size of a Great Dane, but without radiocarbon, you know, dating, they weren't exactly how old it was. But they do know it suffered a wound to its legs and had given, it had a significant limp when it was buried in the grave. It wasn't like this dog had crawled somewhere and died. This was definitely placed there and, you know, revered as something sacred. It was just interesting because they had long speculated that this dog was buried on purpose near this abbey. And they, in that area, people have claimed to see the black dogs roaming all over the England. And they said, you know, it could have been like people having hallucinations from dream states, but I don't think so. There's been so many pictures. I mean, if you go online, you know, you have to take pictures with a grain of salt on the internet, but you never know.
There's Pete Castle, which is believed to be haunted by the Mouth Dog, a large black dog that's seen in the guard chambers lying by the fire. For years, the guards left it alone, and I should say the guards and the inmates left it alone. One day, a soldier come in that was drunk, struck the dog, okay? That soldier became speechless and died 3 days later.
Oh, my gosh.
Of that, unknown causes.
That's so interesting.
Now, the thing is, okay, you just mentioned about how they found the dog buried on purpose. Tell me about the legend. Okay, so what brought us to this whole story about black dogs was the legend of the buried dogs.
Yes. So it's so interesting. You know, just I want to read more and read more. Yeah. So what this sparked from is this legend called the Church Grim, G-R-I-M, Church Grim. It's a guardian spirit in English and Scandinavian folklore that oversees the welfare of particular Christian churches and protects churchyards, which a churchyard is a graveyard attached to a church.
Yeah.
Right next to a church.
Okay.
And it protects those who would profane or commit sacrilege against the church or the churchyard, right? It often appears as a black dog, but it's known to take the form of other animals, right? So this English church grim usually takes the form of a large black dog and guards the churchyards from those who would, you know, come in, like thieves, vandals, witches, warlocks, and the devil himself, they say. In 19th century, folklorists believed that it was once a custom to bury a dog alive under the cornerstone of a church as a foundation sacrifice. So it may serve as a ghost, as a guardian, I guess you could say. The ghost of the dog would serve as a guardian. So, like many spectral black dogs, the Grim, according to Yorkshire tradition, is known to toll the church bell at midnight before death takes place. During funerals, the presiding clergyman may see the Grim looking out from the church tower and determine if it is an aspect of the soul of the deceased is destined for heaven or for hell, right? It also inhabits the churchyard during the day and night. So you could see it during the day, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of sightings during the day.
Very always associated with dark, stormy weather, which in England it rains a lot, so. There you go.
There.
When a new churchyard is opened, it is believed the first person to be buried there had to guard it against the devil. In order to prevent human soul from having to perform such a duty, a black dog was buried in the north part of the churchyard as a substitute. According to a related belief in Scotland, the spirit of a person who is the most recent person buried in the churchyard had to protect it until the next funeral provided a new guardian to replace him or her. So the churchyard vigil, known as Fair Cladith, or the Graveyard Watch. That's what it was called. So one of the folklores was that the Devil's Bridge is, this is the folklore of the Devil's Bridge, right? It's also an example of a motif of a dog, in this case, a dog named Grim, being sacrificed and placed of, in place of a human being. So in the North Riding of Yorkshire, attempts were made to build a bridge that could withstand the fury of floods, but none were successful. So the devil promised to build one in condition that the first living creature that crossed it would serve as a sacrifice. So the devil's going to let you build this bridge, but you got to give me, you know, the soul of the first person. So when it was complete, the people gave a long consideration as to who should be the first victim. A shepherd who owned a dog named Grim swam across the river, then whistled for Grim to follow, who went over the bridge and became the devil's sacrifice. The bridge then became known as Kilrim Bridge and later renamed as Kilgram Bridge, and today crosses the River Ure in northern Yorkshire.
So it's still there.
It's still there. Similar thing in Scandinavia about burying an animal alive in the church foundation. It dwells under the church tower, sometimes in a place of concealment, wanders the grounds at night, is tasked with protecting the sacred building. It keeps order in the church and punishes those who penetrate scandals. So it said the first founders of Christian churches would bury a lamb or a church lamb under the altar. When a person enters the church, when services are not being held, he may see the lamb. And if it appears in the graveyard, especially to a gravedigger, then it predicts the death of a child.
Hmm.
The lamb is to represent Christ, the Lamb of God, and the sacred cornerstone of the church, imparting security and longevity to the physical edifice. I don't know that word.
Edifice?
Edifice.
Edifice.
And congregation. So other animals were used to create the church grim, including a boar, pig, a horse, a grave sow, or sometimes they're known as a gray sow, the ghost of a sow that was buried alive, is often seen in the streets of Kosherbjerg. I couldn't even try to pronounce that if I tried. And it's regarded as a omen of death. So there's also tales of Kirkgrim, which battles the Strandvarsler. I don't know what that is. That tries to enter a churchyard. Strandvarslers are spirits of those who died at sea and are washed up on shore and remain unburied.
Oh.
So there's a...
That's interesting.
Yeah. So there's
That could be a whole nother show.
Yeah. So there's, you know, protector of the churchyard. It's so fascinating. I love it.
One of the things I heard was actually a modern story of a woman that was driving her car down a street and... she came across a large black dog standing in the road on all fours. When she approached it, her headlights shined on it. The dog stood up. Its legs turned into human legs, and it ran off.
Was it twerking?
It was probably twerking, yeah.
You wonder, too. Okay, so this legend goes back hundreds of years, almost
thousands of years.
Were Dogman or that legend brought over here somehow? Did they come on ships? Did they transport? You know, did somebody bring sacred dirt from a graveyard in England or Scandinavia?
It's very possible.
Over here?
Very possible.
Because, you know,
they brought their legends with them. And as we know with ghosts or spirits, you can call on them to come to wherever you are.
Wasn't there a movie where they brought the vampire over in the dirt from the cemetery that he was buried in?
Yes, but I don't remember.
I think that was Dracula that starred Gary Oldham.
Well, there was a Dracula story that it's the movie or the book that says that when Dracula came to London on the ship, he turned into a black dog so that no one would notice him walking by.
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably in the book Dracula, I believe that's one. But I don't know exactly which book, but that's, I heard that story where he actually turned into a black dog to stay hidden and walk past the dock workers, and they never knew who they were.
And you know, back then, like, there's probably like stray dogs everywhere. Oh, yeah. And there's probably stray dogs everywhere now, but, you know, it's a little different now. Mm-hmm. You know, black cats and black dogs are more acceptable in society. I wouldn't mind having a black bunny rabbit.
The big thing now is a lot of people are seeing these black cats. So are they the same thing?
Well, there was talk that people were seeing the black pumas or the leopards in England, thinking maybe that was part of the black dog legend. But those are recent. Those are from like the 70s on up. You know?
There's recent stories. I mean, the one that I just spoke about, the woman driving, was from the 60s.
Wow. That's scary. I don't want to see one. I want to read about them. I don't want to see them. Now I'm going to have a nightmare about a black dog.
Yes, you will. But I thought that was so interesting. We heard a story about them burying dogs in graveyards, and from that became, you know, learning about black dogs, because I really didn't know anything about these. And so I really had to dig a lot of history out, and I actually learned a lot about them.
Yeah, I didn't know they were buried alive. That's kind of the sad part, right? Like,
it's, yeah, sacrifice. Sacrifices have been going on forever.
I know, but it just...
I mean, look at the bone house.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, still feel like we have residual energy from that. It's been, what, 2 years? A year? But I don't know, Joe. Like, it's so interesting how, like, every culture has this legend.
Every culture has their folklore of animals, mm-hmm. whether it is Bigfoot, whether it's the black cats, whether it's black dogs.
And who's to say it wasn't, you know, like, what did they call that, a dire wolf?
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think exists anymore. But did you see that video of that giant wolf chasing that German Shepherd?
No, I did not.
Oh, I'm going to have to play it for you. It's kind of scary. Can't tell if it's CGI or not, mm-hmm. but this guy was videotaping this crouching animal, and it was all black, and it was big, like a wolf, but it was way bigger in the video. And this dog, his pet dog, was barking at it. As the dog approached, this thing chased the dog, and all you hear is the dog barking, then you hear it yelping.
Ooh,
oh, it's, yeah. it gave me shivers, right? Mm. And then, of course, the camera's shaky, and the guy's running after his dog, I mean, if you think about it, would you really run after your dog if you see this giant beast?
Like a dire wolf or whatever chasing your dog.
Yeah.
Dire wolves are bigger than humans.
Well, you know, like...
Wolves themselves are big.
Yeah, I mean, giant. Have you ever seen them, like, in the zoo or something? Man, they're huge. But who's to say there isn't some subspecies out there still around
in small pockets?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Bigfoots.
Yeah.
They're out there.
Bigfoots need dogs, too.
Bigfoot has a dog, and what would he name his dog?
I don't know. Probably Ugg.
Oh. Buster. Snoopy.
Speaking about Bigfoot.
Yes.
Let's segue into this.
Oh, that was a good segue.
Get the heck out of here. October 12th.
12th.
Toledo, Ohio.
12th. There was no twerking allowed.
Saturday.
At the Toledo Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference.
Toledo Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference. We are looking for Bigfoot vendors. So if you are a Bigfoot vendor and you'd love to come out, go up on our website, 222paranormal.com. Go to the tab that says Bigfoot Conference, and you can click on go all the way to the bottom, and you can see that we have the vendor registration slips where you can just click on and then print it out, fill it out,
mail it
send
in.
Send it in.
Yep, with your payment.
Well, if you either pay on PayPal or wherever.
Yeah,
you know.
There's several payment options. Yeah. But yeah, we'd love to have you. We're, you know.
Don't send cash. Cash is never good in the mail.
Yeah, the mailman would be out spending, like, woo, making it rain, twerking. And but no, it's going to be a great event, family-friendly event. So, you know, come on out for a couple hours, listen to some great speakers. We're going to have a really fun time, you know, buy some cool merchandise from our vendors.
There's going to be a lot of great vendors there.
Yeah.
And like I said, we need Bigfoot vendors.
Yep, Bigfoot vendors, but there'll be other type things too, you know, if you want to come out, and if we have some readers or mediums on the plate, if they're there, definitely you can come in and get a reading.
And we're working with one of the local haunted locations to get a ghost hunt going. We're not going to take care of it, but we'll guide you in the right direction if you want to do a ghost hunt that night. Other things to do that at the end of the night, you can go downtown, go see a Mud Hens game, do whatever. So
yeah, so there's, you know, a lot.
Toledo's awesome.
And plus, you know, it's going to be October, so there's going to be a lot of haunting things.
It won't be baseball.
Might be. Don't they play the playoffs in October?
I don't think so.
But anyways, we have a great zoo. They have the pumpkin path at the zoo. We'll see if that's going on at the same time. We have just an amazing art museum with tons of cool stuff. You can go see some mummies.
Yeah, so, you know, you can hang out. Well, the zoo is also, but the art museum's very haunted, by the way.
Yeah, there's tons of haunted locations in Toledo. Just plan on
it. So we'll let you know.
Plan on coming to Toledo because it's awesome.
We're going to talk to someone about getting a ghost hunt going. Like I said, we're not going to be in charge of it or nothing. We're going to let them deal with that. And
But what a great weekend mm-hmm. it's going to be.
October 12th.
Yes.
Toledo, Ohio.
Be there.
Bigfoot and Paranormal Convention.
And Joe will be there.
I will be there.
I will be
there. And I will be square.
And bring me snacks. All right, everybody. Get up on our website. Listen to the podcast. Share the show with your friends. Thanks for listening. Shout out to Joe Jr. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week, everybody. Joe?
Yes. So let's leave with some Dead in Five with Devil, White Devil.
Black Dogs, White Devil. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you next week.